720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. Excited to have on one of the great motorsports authors, voices, marketer, and mind. You know him from his best-selling books, Driver Number 8, Beast in the Red, and now John Andretti's Racer. It is the one and only Jade Gerse. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. Thanks for having me.
Well, we know you as this great storyteller, right? Whether it's the, you know, marketing programs for race teams, whether it's, you know, in Driver Number 8, really basically introducing the world to Dale Jr. And so with John Andretti, and I know that this is an autobiography, so these are his words, but obviously it's through the lens of a Jade Gerse. This is a guy that I think, you know, all of us who've been in and around and covered racing, you know, we knew him. Of course we knew him. We felt like we knew him. We all liked him. And he was, but he was kind of quiet, right? Being one of, you know, a member and sort of like a peripheral member in some ways of the first family of motorsports, at least one of them. And so for people who are going to read this book who feel like they know, like John Andretti, what are they going to learn?
Well, it's fascinating. You're absolutely correct. Everybody liked John and such a good guy. One of his great abilities, you mentioned storytelling. He was a great storyteller. He remembered everything. And so it was really rewarding for me to be able to sit down with him, sadly, in his final months of his life. But to just allow him to tell his story and to really just share what his life was like as one of the Andrettis. He's Mario's nephew, if anyone is wondering about that. His father, Aldo, is the twin brother of Mario.
Yep.
And it's called Racer, and it really is about his racing career. But honestly, the main thread from page one to the very end is about family and what his family meant to him and his friends and what it meant to just be good to people around you and treat people the way you would like to be treated. And so to me, that was what was striking, is that every racing story had some sort of twist of family involvement. It was just fascinating for me as a fan to sit and listen to him tell all these stories. So it was an honor to be able to turn them into print for this book.
Were there any things based on your kind of familiarity with everything and your closeness to the situations and just in racing as a career, where there were things, obviously things he wanted to get out and wanted to share, but were there things where you were, like things you were curious about or that you knew that maybe the racing public would be interested to hear that you said, oh, we've got to put this in the book?
Yeah, there was a lot. And I sat down with him almost as much of a fan as a writer. I would ask him questions that I wanted to know. We started off, the very first question I asked him was, when did he first realize what that last name of Andretti meant in the world? And he laughed and then told a brilliant series of stories about being 15 years old and going along with Michael Andretti, his cousin, to Europe to a driving school for the first time. And it turned into this epic travel tales of those two youngins learning to drive rear engine cars, and then having Mario show up and take him to a Formula One test and the German Grand Prix. And it was just, to me, an example of a simple question that turned into this amazing thread of travelogue story of John as a teenager, sort of learning what his last name meant in the world. And it just, that's kind of example of how these questions led him into these great tales. So that was what was amazing to me, was every simple question had a very deep and heartfelt backstory.
It's interesting to think about just the way that person's perspective and how they could see, you know, what is their position, what they've been born, and whether they appreciate it or whether their focus, like you said, is on family or on career. I could see in an alternative universe with a different personality that a John Andretti book could be titled, you know, Overshadowed. right? Or something, because you look at the family, and of course, Mario, you know, legendary, one of the great racers of all time. Michael is considered, you know, one of the great IndyCar drivers of all time. And John, you know, in that situation, it's like a super accomplished race car driver in a bunch of different disciplines and really talented there. Were there any thoughts of, was it just appreciation for just kind of the proximity that he had to maybe things in with the family name that got more of it, more attention? Or was there any like, hey, you know what, I wish, or maybe some of the things I did didn't get as much attention as maybe they could have if my name would have actually, as crazy as it sounds, been something else?
Yeah, he addressed that quite a bit about sort of the perceived pressures of being the nephew of an icon, really. So he acknowledged that there was some pressure in that, but there's never a sense that he felt bitter or frustrated about, you know, being overshadowed. And I personally think he was overshadowed just because he won in so many different categories of racing.
Yep.
His career was really unmatched as far as versatility. But he realized that he's not going to get installed in any Hall of Fame based on the number of victories. But his goal was to make a difference outside of the cockpit, to make a difference, to lack of a better term, as a human being. And he really lived that every day. One aspect of the book is that we're donating 10% of all proceeds to John's charity. He created one called Race for Riley, which was for the Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. And in his life, he raised about $4.8 million for the children or for the hospital. And that was a huge part of his life. And after he passed, we worked with his wife, Nancy, and his family to help continue that. And that's just one example of what a generous human being he was. So as a person is how he wanted to be remembered versus, win here or win there. And so hopefully this book will go a long way in people appreciating and understanding John's life and what a great person he was.
Yeah, Riley Children's Hospital they do such important work, and they're so tied in, just an institution there in Indianapolis, and tied in with so many things related to the Speedway as well. So it's great to see that happen. And as you got in there with John, and during those last, you know, that last period of his life, where I'm sure a lot of it, you know, it was kind of looking back and kind of sharing stories, certainly things throughout his career and his life that people would want to know. But was there some of that reflective thought on ways he could maybe, you know, still have an impact in the way that he wanted to do and did while he was living, you know, even beyond, you know, whether it's with the charity or whether it's even with the impact of the book?
Yeah, he realized it right away. I approached him near the end of 2018. He had been diagnosed in early 2017, and his immediate response when I reached out to him was, "This sounds great. Maybe something good can come of this." And what he meant was,
wow,
something good can come of his illness, because he had started a program called Check It for Andretti, which was designed to raise awareness for colon cancer and for people to get their colonoscopies, certainly before or at age 50. So his immediate response to me was one of, hey, we can use this to continue this message that I'm trying to share, to try to help prevent other people or other families of going through, you know, the pain and the suffering that I've been going through. And so it's clearly throughout the book, he's thought very deeply about a lot of these things. He made a comment at one point. He said, "Look, I wasn't struck by lightning." He said, "I was diagnosed with cancer, and I've had time to really ponder these things, really think deeply about his life and ponder what good he can continue to do. So your question is absolutely spot on as far as how John viewed it. And I think he really appreciated the fact that this book can do a lot to continue the things he was doing in his life and continue to do good and raise awareness for these things that he found so important.
Well, let the listeners know we're talking with a great motorsports personality, voice, and author, Jade Gerse. And the book is John Andretti's Racer. And I think, and because he was a quiet guy, I mean, I've taken multiple, you know, track ride arounds with him. I've interviewed him multiple times, but he was a relatively, he was kind of a quiet guy. And I know that there's going to be a lot of fans, not only of him, his career, all those things that he's done. And even maybe people that maybe this is more of an introduction to John than maybe just kind of reinforcement of things that they already knew with the book. And so there's going to be a lot of people that are kind of getting to know John Andretti through the book and through you, Jade. But I was curious, was there anything in there, and you mentioned it, and at those times, you know, in your life where you're kind of at that moment and you're faced with a lot of the challenges that are going to be the final kind of challenges, was there anything, you know, outside of the fans and other things that people may learn, were there any things that maybe he wanted to build in related to family, like looking back, maybe the wife or kids or the rest of his family, things that maybe they didn't know that even they're going to sort of learn or learn more about through the book?
Yeah, it's interesting. He was very, very open about his illness, about his cancer and the treatments. And there were some very, very personal things that he was willing to share that I get a sense was it was something he hadn't shared with a lot of people. I think his wife, Nancy, he really speaks so highly of her, and she really was his anchor, or as he puts it, his guardian angel through his sickness. And he really wanted his kids, who are all 25 and younger, to continue their lives. He didn't want them, as he put it, it did him no good if they sat around at the house looking at him all day rather than doing the things that that they should be doing. One of his daughters is in medical school. Another one had just started college. And then his son, Jarrett, is actually following his footsteps as a race car driver. So it was fascinating to hear his attitudes about that and about how close they were as a family. But he also linked his work with the charities of being around these terribly sick children for so many years and about their attitude, and that he learned from these kids how to best deal with this this sickness or with this strife. And he never really asked, oh, why me? Or there was never that sense of him with him and his family. It was, you know, how can I best deal with this and best deal with my family? So that thread, again, is a constant in the book, even from his youngest days, about how close he was with his family and how that helped him deal with stresses in his life.
It's just so sad because, you know, I think to a person who's just such a nice guy, such a decent guy, such a great credit to the sport and just to humans and all of that kind of things. And to have that happen, it almost makes it a little sadder because he handled all of that in sort of the ideal way that you would, and with like the ultimate grace in every way, you know, kind of just, you know, accepting and trying to pay it forward and try to recognize and leave a legacy and all that kind of stuff. And it's just one of those things. But I think, you know, outside of the great work with the charity and obviously for fans to be able to get a different and expanded insight into John Andretti, I think the higher purpose to it all can be, especially with colon cancer, something that is, you know, when detected, when found early, when you're paying attention to it, is really, you know, survivable, right? It's one of those that you can, if you're just on top of it, you know, that you don't have to end up like this. And I think that could be one of the great legacies that John leaves behind, and I think the book can amplify.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's we dealt with that in the book right up front, the very first chapter. And part of the reason he was so fervent about that was that even after he had retired as a driver, he would still get once a year, a major physical that covered so many different bases that was required by NASCAR, IndyCar. He even raced NHRA Top Fuel Dragsters.
Yes.
And he was still in such good shape that, unfortunately, his doctor said, "Oh, I don't think you need to worry about a colonoscopy right now. You're in such good condition." And sadly, that meant that he didn't get his first colonoscopy till he was age 53. And that was the time that that they had found that, sadly, that the colon cancer had really been there and was already growing rapidly. So his vivid experience of not getting a colonoscopy at age 50, I think, really was what motivated him to share his story with others.
Yeah.
To say, you know, don't be like me, get it done early and get it treated. It is treatable when you catch it early. And that's a big message early on in the book.
The book is Racer. It is the autobiography of John Andretti, as told to Jade Gerst. 10% of the proceeds from the book go to Riley's Children's Hospital and John's charitable foundation that has been that is over there. And Jade, I gotta ask you, is obviously a guy that's worked in and around, you mentioned multiple disciplines in motorsports, you've been there and of course told those stories and been on the front lines with teams and personalities and drivers in a bunch of different ways, and of course, you know, we've been kind of starved for racing. We've started it up a little bit here and there, some virtual, some without fans, and when you think about Indianapolis and a place that's so identified with the Andrettis and of course with yourself as well, is that two areas which you've worked in and around, and of course, so did John. You know, you've got NASCAR, you've got IndyCar happening at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
You're right, and I don't think anyone would have enjoyed it more than John Andretti, not only because he raced in IndyCar and NASCAR, but he has a section of the book where he said he's going to get up in his soapbox and talk about the state of racing. And one of the things that upset him the most was when people would argue, or one series would claim, well, you know, we're the greatest in the world, you know, versus this other category of racing. And he said that just made him angry and drove him crazy. He felt like everyone in auto racing should work together. He said, you know, you're not rivaling the other racing series, you're rivaling the other stick and ball sports, and all of us in racing need to stick together. And so I think he would have loved the fact that for the first time, IndyCar and NASCAR on the same weekend on the same track. So,
yeah.
You know, and again, me as a fan, it's the greatest speedway in the world.
Yeah.
So
it's an iconic place, and it transcends the sport and even the action on the track, Indianapolis. And so it is one of those great jewels. I don't care what sport. For the listeners, maybe you're not the biggest motorsports fan, you still have to make a pilgrimage down to Indianapolis at one point in your life and experience it. It's like nothing else, and we always talk about it. There's no substitute for being there, and when people can, you know, to get in there and experience motorsport in person, it is one of those things. There's also no substitute for good people, and John Andretti was one of those, and helping to share that and amplify that through the book Racer is Jade Gerst. So Jade, as we let you go, if you've got either social media that you want to share or some ways that people, I'm guessing they can get it at their favorite bookstore, or any kind of avenues you'd like to suggest.
Yeah, the book is available for pre-order. We're working on a pretty fast timeline to get it printed and out there into the world. With the virus and all of that, the most reliable way to pre-order it is direct from the publisher. That will guarantee that you get the book as soon as it's available. The publisher is Octane Press, octanepress.com.
Nice.
You can pre-order it there. They are taking pre-orders on Amazon and other sites, as well as the Kindle version. But the best way to guarantee you're going to get the best price and get it as soon as possible is through Octane Press. And no matter where you order it, 10% will go to the Riley Children's Hospital. So it's something that John believed in and that we're happy to support that as well with the book.
Excited to see the book, excited to get our hands on it, as I'm sure many listeners are, as soon as it's available for Octane Press. We'll have those links up at wgnradio.com. And thanks, Jade, for jumping on the show today.
thank you. I always appreciate being on, and I'm really excited about this book. I think people are going to love it.